sermon in our series on our commitments as a church. We've been thinking about being a loving community, growing community, welcoming community, serving community. And today we're focusing on being a learning community. Now, for some of you, that might be something that is a bit unnerving. Learning can be something that we have different experiences of. Some people have good learning experiences, perhaps at school, but for others, learning is something that we've had negative experiences about, particularly in some contexts. But I just want to say, just relax. It's okay. We're not talking about being a learning community in terms of opening up some sort of school of theology. Much rather just thinking about our lifelong journey as disciples of Jesus. Because to follow Jesus is to be a learner. One of the joys of being a Christian, of reading scripture, of praying and worshipping, of being in church, is that there's always more to learn. God is so great and so mysterious, so complex, that there is always something new that we can experience and learn about him. It astounds me time and time again how, when I come to read the most familiar of passages of scripture, say the Lord's Prayer or Psalm 23 or something that we maybe even know off by heart, God can reveal something new to me if I just sit and allow his Holy Spirit to speak to me in that moment. So when we're saying that we're committing to being a learning community, we're just responding to God's invitation to get to know him better, to follow Jesus, to follow after his teaching. So on the next slide, there's a question. We won't need to answer it to each other today, but just be thinking about what sort of learner you are. Many of you know that I trained and worked as a primary school teacher for 10 years before being a stay-at-home mum and then training for ministry. And as teachers, we learn that everybody is different in terms of how they learn. We have different learning styles. Some people are visual learners, so they learn well from books, from pictures. They have a good visual memory. If they read something, they can remember it. Some people are auditory learners, so they learn by listening. Perhaps in an adult context, you might listen to podcasts, and in church, it's helpful to have auditory learners because we often teach by preaching. But some people are kinesthetic learners. That means that they learn best by doing, by actually physically doing something. Learn, you know, those learning experiences perhaps you have at school about doing an experiment or making a thing in art or DT or those sorts of things. That's how some children and adults learn best. Now, the problem with schools, there are problems with schools, and churches, more importantly, is that we traditionally teach using quite limited ways. We rely very much on the congregation in churches being mostly those who listen by who learn by listening, maybe a little bit by seeing. We rarely kind of do things together. It's kind of one of the joys, I think, of when we have all age services and we often do things. That's one of the few services where we really engage that sort of idea about learning by making something or doing something. Getting out of our seats, speaking to someone. There is kinesthetic learning in regular worship, you know, taking communion, being baptized, are very physical, active things, but they don't happen all the time. And we see that these sorts of different ways of learning are celebrated in Scripture. So the Jewish tradition was very literary. It's why we have the Bible. It was based on the law. People gathered in the temple and later in Jesus's ministry was through listening. People listened, came to listen. We're told all the way through the Gospels about how he gathered crowds and they listened to his teaching. But Jesus being Jesus being the kind of best teacher knew that people didn't just learn through him telling them how to live their lives. You know, if he'd always taught by like the Sermon on the Mount type of teaching, you know, don't judge, you know, forgive, blessed be so-and-so, all of that, then not everyone will have learned. So he chose to teach a lot through stories, through parables. He didn't just teach the content of how his ministry and the way of following him was different. He told stories with props and visual aids. You know, there's a part in the Gospels where he says, you know, look at this fig tree. He uses it as a kind of an object lesson. I dare say that when he was teaching the parable of the sower, he had, you know, grain to throw, or he was in a wheat field with people showing them, or at least he was using examples that people could really relate to. But as well as those kind of different ways, those auditory and visual ways that we see in Scripture, ultimately, Jesus was calling his disciples to follow him. And in that, he was calling them into much more kinesthetic learning. He was calling them into apprenticeship. His disciples that he called to be around him, the 12, but actually other followers as well, the 72 and beyond, he was inviting them to live alongside him as their rabbi and learn from his life. This is how rabbis taught their followers. Jesus wasn't the only rabbi in town. And if you do watch The Chosen, which is a video series that you can watch online, which depicts Jesus' life, it depicts this aspect of how he gathers a group of people and they go about their life with him and learn from his life really, really well. But he didn't just demonstrate to them. He also made them go and do it. So there are some I find them quite scary stories in the Gospels around Luke 10 about how Jesus sends out the disciples. So he's had them with him for a little while. They've seen him heal people. They've seen him drive out demons. They've seen him teaching. And he says, right, okay, your turn. And he sends them out to do it themselves. And then being the good teacher that he was, once they've gone and had mixed experiences, because they're just learners, he draws them back together and says, like, oh, how did that go? And they're like, well, we couldn't drive out that demon. And he's like, ah, well, you see, some things only come out by fasting and so on. So he doesn't just teach by telling. He teaches by doing and by letting people have a go, sometimes make mistakes. There are certain disciples I'm sure we can name, like Peter, who were very much learnt by doing and making mistakes. Jesus accepted that. He knew that is how he learned. So as followers of Jesus today, we are also his apprentices. In fact, that's a really good way of us thinking about going forward in our Christian faith. When you apprentice to learn a trade, it's a very practical training. As Christians, we definitely need to be learning about God, about Christian teaching, about what the Bible tells us, about our faith. But as we learned about last week, if faith without works, faith without doing, faith without practicing our faith is dead. Being an apprentice to Jesus, we learn those things too. He taught his disciples how to pray, how to forgive, how to deal with our emotions, our temptations, how to love others, how to fast, how to worship, all these practical things. In the passage in Matthew 11 that we had read, the last one, the start of it, Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees for thinking that they know all there is to know about God, that they somehow have got the wisdom of the knowledge of God. Instead, he says that God hasn't revealed himself just through wisdom, just through being learned, just through knowing the law. Instead, he's revealed himself to children, those that are not learned, those that haven't learn everything that there is to learn. Gaining wisdom is very different in the kingdom of God to how we are taught it is in the world. He then goes on to speak about this idea of being apprenticed to him, inviting his disciples and us to come to him, especially if they're weary and heavy laden. And let's face it, life itself, day-to-day life, and sometimes church life can feel quite heavy. All this loving and welcoming and serving and growing, it's there's a danger there that it becomes all about expectation and pressure. Jesus says to all of us, especially those who are weary and heavy laden, come and learn from me. Importantly, Jesus knew his disciples. It wasn't some government-backed apprenticeship program. It was a relationship. And that's true for us now. The reading that came from Ephesians is quite different to the others. So the one from Matthew is talking about this idea of apprenticeship, and we'll come on to think about the others that are talking about learning from Scripture, learning from the Holy Spirit. But in Ephesians, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and I believe that what he says is for us today too. And he prays for them, and he prays that they would be rooted and established in love and have power together with all God's holy people to grasp, to learn, to get hold of, to understand, to really know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love surpasses knowledge. It's more than we can know. And that they might be filled, and we might be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. So this idea of grasping is to comprehend, to understand, to really know how much God loves us. What God's love is like, so that we can love others, but what God's love is like for us too. Beyond all theology, all doctrine, even all practice that we can learn as a Christian, the most useful and powerful and transformative thing that we can learn is how amazing Christ's love is for us. It's something that we often have to learn over and over again. As we sang earlier, how vast his love is for us. Not just us as individuals, but how much he loves the church, how much he loves our town, how much he loves the world, how much he even loves your enemy. So, what sort of learner are you? If you're a book learner, that's great. We've learned that the Bible has been given to us. If you are someone who loves to listen to a podcast, a recorded sermon, a YouTube video, that's great too. And that if you're someone who learns through doing, it's there in Scripture too. As we've been thinking about being a welcoming and a serving community in particular, we've been focusing on this idea that we're all different, that our diversity in many, many different ways is a God-given strength of who we are here. And it's okay to be you, and it's okay to learn the way that works for you. The only thing that's not negotiable is that you do learn. It's something of what it means when Jesus tells us, when he's asked, you know, what are the greatest commandments? And he says that, you know, to love the Lord with all your heart and all your strength and all your mind. One of the two commandments that Jesus gives us, because the other one, of course, is to love our neighbours. So, what resources do we have for learning? If we move on to the next slide. So, we're always going to start with the Bible, and that passage in 1 Timothy 3:16 is a reminder that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All those different ways of learning. We learn from teaching. We learn when we get it wrong. And someone has the courage and the grace and the love to tell us that we are wrong, to correct us, to put us back on the right path. Scripture does that to us, certainly does it to me, time and time again. That's what it's for.
as well as training us, not just head knowledge, but doing knowledge in righteousness. The Bible is a key resource for us. It's a gift from God. It tells us so much about, well, it tells us everything there is to know, really, about who God is. It tells us all our stories of faith. It tells us the teaching of Jesus, who we're apprenticed to, and how living out that faith works in practice. If we look at the letters to the church in the New Testament, what it's like to be in church, what it's like to be with other Christians, it's all there in the letters to the New Testament churches. And alongside it, it gives us worship songs in the Psalms and wisdom literature in Proverbs, and of course, the books of prophecy as well. Reading our Bibles, if we're a visual learner, or listening to our Bibles, if we're an auditory learner, will grow our knowledge. And praying the scriptures, we've been thinking about that a little bit with our with the prayer course, this idea that you can use scripture as a starting point for prayer, that can be really transformative of how we practice our faith if we let it. It's very easy, and I talked about this with several people, it's very easy to kind of to decide that you're going to read scripture, and that will increase your knowledge, but we can just let it kind of wash over us, especially if we're listening to it or it becomes kind of very routine. Okay, I'm going to read a chapter. You know, if we don't read that with a kind of wanting to learn from it and for it to change us, for the Holy Spirit to do that through scripture, to do the teaching and training and rebuking and correcting that the scripture is there for, if we don't allow it to do that, then it just becomes another tick in our daily to-do list, really. The second resource we have, as we learned about recently, is the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit. One of the works of the Holy Spirit that we didn't really dwell on when I taught on it all those weeks ago is its role in Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the reason why we even have a Bible. You know, we talk about Scripture being God-breathed. It's the Holy Spirit that enabled each of the people that wrote Scripture to write it. But it's the Holy Spirit that also kept Scripture for us, made sure that those scrolls were preserved, that equipped the scribes to keep on writing them out, kept them safe for us to even be able to go and see kind of fairly early manuscripts. If you go up to get the train up to St. Pancras, often you can see some very early scriptures in the British Library Museum. It's free to go in if you ever want to see tiny fragments of scripture. It's the Holy Spirit that did that work, that kept it for us. It's the Holy Spirit that has helped translators to translate it into our own languages. And it's the Holy Spirit that works when we open up scripture and we say, help me, Lord, to understand this passage. Help me, Lord, to apply this to myself. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in challenging us and convicting us and confronting us and comforting us with Scripture. But we've also learned about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and some of those are linked to teaching. You know, words of knowledge, prophecy. We're told that to be a teacher, you know, the church has apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets. As John reminds us in this passage that we had read, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. It's that idea of, you know, being able to sense what the Holy Spirit is doing. And it's never going to contradict Scripture. This passage is really clear about the interplay between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is God is one. There's no contradiction in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit's not going to reveal to you something that Jesus is teaching that's opposite to Jesus' teaching. It's just impossible for that to be the case. We might think it. Many, many have thought it. But it's simply not true. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And the third resource that we have is one another. It's hard to be a Christian on your own. One of God's gifts to us in learning, both knowledge and practice, of the Christian faith is other people. And that's why sometimes we speak to one another in the sermons, where I get you to share with one another. But one of the best ways to learn is in small groups. That's why Bible studies are so important. And I'd really encourage you to come along to one of our Bible study groups. Or if those timings don't work for you, come and talk to me about, you know, can we start a different group at a time that does work for you? Be so great to see more and more of us in those small groups, because that is where change so often happens. Proverbs 27:17 talks about iron sharpening iron. And that's what happens when we learn together in situations like Bible study or other small group situations. But interestingly, in the passage that we heard read from 1 Timothy, where it talks about Scripture being God-breathed, the bit before that, Paul is commending Timothy and all that he has already learned. Remember, he's got the Old Testament at this point. He doesn't have the New Testament. He's kind of part of it. And he credits Timothy's upbringing. He says that he's been learning since infancy. And later on in the letter, Paul sends greetings to his mother and his grandmother. Paul recognizes that it's not just Scripture that we learn from, that we learn from each other, and that we don't just learn that in church, we learn that in our homes. It's a real blessing. Some of us have been brought up in Christian homes, some of us haven't. And those of us that have maybe can recognize the richness and the blessing of that. And those of us are here, some of us are many of us still are living alongside people in our homes that we can encourage and we can learn from and we can teach. Our families, as well as Timothy's family, can be places where our children and our grandchildren can learn about faith and how to practice faith. Not in the same way that we learn in church, not necessarily through direct teaching, but we model the Christian faith to them. Really simple things, simple rhythms. You know, perhaps giving thanks for food before we eat, perhaps praying in the mornings or praying at bedtime, the stories that are read and the conversations that we have over dinner table, on long car journeys, just when we spend time with one another. Our homes can be places of learning and teaching. They are. For everything in life. But they can be places where that happens for faith things as well. Finally, slide 4. What are the other aspects of learning when we think about being a learning community? And there's two things I want us to think about. It says on there, I am still learning. And the idea of lifelong learning is probably familiar to us. It encourages us to think that the opportunities for learning and our capacity for learning doesn't just stop when we're younger. Obviously, when we're younger, learning is what so much of the hours of our week is taken up with, going to school and learning all the things that we have to do. But lifelong learning says that that can continue for the whole of our lives. And it's been proven that such an attitude, you know, such practices of lifelong learning are linked to really good health outcomes for us as we go through life, and also a much more fulfilled life. Being a Christian and living out our faith commits us to lifelong learning. But it's easier than we think for that lifelong learning sometimes to make us more like one of the Pharisees than perhaps we would like. One of the things about the Pharisees that Jesus had an issue with, let's say, is that they had learned so much and become very fixed in their beliefs and practices. We're told that some of them were open to Jesus' teaching, because he brought such radically different ideas into the mix. We could all fall into the trap, but perhaps it's easier the further we go on in faith, of thinking that we know things for certain, that we are definitely right, that we are sticking to what works for us in terms of practicing our faith. But in committing to being a learning community, there's a challenge for all of us to just be a little more open to new ways of thinking, new faith practices, to being teachable. Most importantly, when we come to study Scripture, but also having an openness to the Holy Spirit and to what we can learn from each other, especially as we know that there are differences amongst us and different ways of seeing the world, seeing Scripture, seeing faith. A newer concept when it comes to learning is this idea of having a growth mindset. And that acknowledges the reality of our lives as human beings, and especially the fact that we make mistakes. I think our society can have quite a harsh attitude to those who make mistakes. And the gospel, on the other hand, has at its very core a cycle of change. We're called by Jesus to have a constant reflective cycle in our practice of faith, to repeatedly ask ourselves to reflect on how we are, who we are, and how we're behaving, to repent and return to God. That's a cycle of change. That's a cycle of wanting to become more like Jesus. We talk about wanting to become more like Jesus. We're not like Jesus, so that's going to have to require change. We often do that at the start of our faith journey. We do that, you know, when we come through baptism. But healthy and growing faith requires that we continually do this as teachable disciples. A growth mindset accepts the fact that part of our learning is that we make mistakes. It's particularly true of learning that requires risk, which all good learning does. If you always stick to what you know you can do, then you're not going to learn anything new. To learn and grow, you actually have to try and do something different, and that naturally carries the risk of failure. And that can be really hard in a community context because you've got other people watching you make that mistake. It's a little bit easier, depending on how you respond to failure, if you're doing it privately. I've done it privately recently. I started Couch to 5K. Those of you that know about Couch to 5K, it's where you learn to run 5K, theoretically. Not sure I'll ever get there. And there are 9 weeks of 3 runs. Brothers and sisters, I got to week 9, run 2. I've not done week 9, run 3. I've failed. I have not completed Couch to 5K. And that's just my own, I mean, now it's public, but it was my own private failure. Now it's public failure. I'm going to have to start again. I'm going to have to, now, because I've not run for a few weeks, I'm going to have to start again. Back at week 1, run 1. It's rubbish, failing, trying something and failing. In a community context, when everybody knows you're doing it, which is why I didn't tell any of you that I was doing it, it's even harder. You know, what if we relaunch the toddler group and no one comes? It doesn't work out. And in 6 months' time, we have to go, well, yeah, no, that wasn't it. That wasn't what God was calling us to do. The temptation is not to try. It's not to risk. But we want to be, as part of this idea of being a learning community, we want to be a community with a growth mindset, a community of grace that allows us to try things and celebrates when they work and reflects and goes again when they don't. My prayer is that we will be a place where we can all remain teachable and open and also have the grace and the love for one another to accept when we make a mistake as part of our learning and growing, because it's part of the process. So today we've been thinking about our different attitudes to learning, how even the idea of learning can be quite difficult for some of us, that we learn in lots of different ways, and that diversity is a gift from God, but something that we need to be aware of and work with, not against, in the ways in which we learn together. We've learned about the rich resources that God has given us to learn from his word. He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us, and he's given us one another. And we've learned how we want to stay teachable and have a growth mindset as a community. So let's pray together before we close our service with some sung worship. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the model that you have given us in Scripture for how to learn. We remember the story of when you were a child and you didn't rejoin your family to return home at Passover, but rather you went to the temple to talk to the teachers of the law, to be in a place of learning. And Lord, we want to be like you, not in terms of not being with our family on a journey home, but in terms of being motivated to learn. We thank you, Jesus, that in your life on earth, you apprenticed others, that you had disciples, that you were an amazing teacher. And we thank you that you are still our teacher today. You still invite us to come to you, to put down the doing and come and be, to put down the idea that we have learnt it all and come and sit at your feet and learn afresh. We thank you that now we have your word, the Bible. Now we can sit in our homes and read from translations in our own languages. And we thank you that we have the Holy Spirit with us in those times to open up Scripture to our hearts and our minds. And Jesus, we just pray that you would help us to do that work, to come and invite you to be with us, to teach us from your word. Lord, we thank you for one another, all the many gifts and talents that we have, the many life experiences, the decades and decades, hundreds of years represented in this room of following you, of learning to pray in many, many different ways, learning to worship in different ways, learning to fast, learning to give, learning to serve from lots of different starting places all over the world. In this place now, lots of different life experiences, ways of being brought up in families that knew and loved you, families that didn't. Lord, thank you that you have taught each one of us and we have learned from you so many things about who you are and how you would call us to live. But Jesus, more than anything, I join with Paul in his prayer to the Ephesians, and I just pray that beyond all the thinking and the knowing and the doing, we might just grasp, comprehend, know in a heart way, not a head way, how much you love us, how deep and wide and high your love is for us. That you might ground us, let our roots go down, let us be strengthened by a knowledge of that love, that we might share that love with others. In Jesus' name, amen.